My agenda is for Lani Kumar, President of the Fiscal Commission. Sitting next to me on my left is Professor Nicole Steinman, who is the Commissioner in the SFP. And then behind, directly behind Commissioner Steinman is Mr. Duncan Tully. He is a member of the Audit Committee of the SFP. And next to me on my right is Mr. Mabuso Mwana. He is the Chief Financial Officer. And next to him is Anasuya Maharaj Dora. She is the Commission Secretary. I also have him next to somewhere. It's probably going out. He's our parliamentarian officer, so he's probably just liaising with Parliament Summit. As you indicated, we in preparing this submission or briefing presentation, we took into consideration the issues that we thought we required to act on in the past financial year. So let me just go to the presentation of the beginning world. Yeah, I think that slide basically just puts a context to the Financial and Fiscal Commission established in terms of Section 220 of the Constitution as an independent juristic subject only to the Constitution. That is in terms of the Financial and Fiscal Commission and amended. The mandate is to act as a consultative body and make recommendations and give advice to Parliament, provincial legislatures, and organize local governments and other organizations on the equitable division of revenue among the three spheres of government and on any other financial and fiscal matter in terms of the Constitution and as provided for in national legislation. In terms of our vision, that slide basically summarizes our vision and our mission. Those are the pieces of legislation that are governed or enable the Financial and Fiscal Commission to implement its mandate in terms of the Constitution. And then, in terms of the issues that we picked up from your PRR report, there were two issues that came out of our audit report last year. One related to the irregular expenditure. That has since been resolved, Chairperson, in consultation with the National Treasury and the Auditor General. There was an issue around the misstatement of financial statements. That has also been resolved in consultation with our internal auditors and the auditor general, so we no longer have those types of issues in our book. The other issue that the committee raised related to the capacity in the commission, and that was in reference to the fact that the chairperson is also the chief executive officer of the commission. And also to make matters worse, at a particular point, the chairperson was an acting chairperson. Now that became an issue for the committee, which came out in the PRR report. Now the situation, and that's respect, chairperson, I can say that it is actually still the same. As I did indicate at that particular point in time, my term was expiring in February 2015. Upon the expiry of that term, I was reappointed again in my capacity as the Deputy Chairperson of the Commission, but in the acting capacity of Chairperson and Chief Executive. So the situation has not changed from where we were in the last year. But what has happened, though, is that we have indicated that the situation with the conflated position was a matter of legislation. It's mentioned the special commission act. At that time, the process was underway to amend the mentioned special commission act in order to separate those two positions. I again to say that also with the support of the committee as well, we have managed to amend that piece of legislation and correct that anomaly. At the moment, we are in the process of engaging or consultation with the Minister of Finance in terms of the proceeding with the implementation of the new amended act. So, in a nutshell, Chairperson, those are the three issues that I picked up from the BRR report that required our attention at the moment. Now, to come to the year under consideration, there was an appointment for three new commissioners, namely Mr. Sipho Lungisi, Professor Kilingwe Mayende, and Joseph Mongi Lemutwa, following the expiry of the terms of office of Ms. Tanya Adam, Ms. Lucien Abraham, and Ms. Melissa Wilches. Now, you see those names that replaced those three from a gender perspective. There were three ladies in the commission. They were replaced by two men and one lady. What that has done is that it has actually reversed the game that has emerged in terms of the gender composition of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. At the moment, we have female out of eight currently filled commission positions. So there is a challenge in terms of getting the gender balance back. I mean, we have moved quite significantly in the past commission, but when the appointments were made in the mid last year, there was a regression in terms of that, and I would suppose that the committee might want to have a conversation around that, but that's definitely that is not something that is within our control as the commission, because the appointments are made by the president. The key issues in terms of our research and recommendation program, obviously all our legislative requirements, we met them. Our annual submission was tabled on time. The media chamber's policy statement submission was tabled on time, and so we met all our mandatory legislative requirements. I must say that all of those submissions were also not just tabled, but were also followed with engagement in the term of briefing to the relevant committees, both in the National Assembly and the NCOP. We also, in one of our issues for last year was the celebration of 20 years of intergovernmental fiscal relations and the Financial and Fiscal Commission in South Africa. We had indicated that we would be hosting a conference instead of a party to celebrate that. We did have a very well-supported international conference, which is an all-Africa focus. We had international speakers from a number of countries, both in Africa and outside of Africa, and also in South Africa. We have subsequent to that submitted a report to Parliament on that conference and the recommendations that came out of it. We are yet to get feedback from Parliament in terms of some of the issues that were raised there. We have not received any feedback from Parliament. We are also in the process of compiling a book as a result of that, which will be published in the next year as a result of the research papers that we presented at that conference. Obviously, there's just some work that is going on in terms of converting those papers into publishable chapters in a book. Also in the past, we also completed work that we were doing on household vulnerability and that agriculture in South Africa, where we took the case of two provinces which we consider to be the poorer provinces, and those are Limpopo and the Eastern Cape. Now that work was done in collaboration with the Food, Agriculture and Natural Resource Policy Analysis Network, and we submitted the report to Parliament, and we had subsequently a briefing on that particular report during the strategic plan session of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture. Portfolio Committee is actually a joint meeting of the Portfolio Committee, Agriculture and also Rural Development Portfolio Committee. So we participated through this report in that process with them. We have finally managed to identify and recruit a female staff member in our executive committee. We have already had four executive committee members, and all of them have been named for a very long time. So we have managed to identify and recruit this Maharaj. She is the first female ethical member of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Let me, at this point, hand over to Ms. Maharaj to just talk to the issues around our performance information in a little bit of detail than I have addressed. And then Mr. Obwana will then take you through the financial information and audit outcomes. And then after that, Chairperson, with your permission, I would like to allow Mr. Tuli, the member of the Audit Committee, to say a few words in terms of where the Audit Committee's processes proceed, the Commission going in terms of responsibility. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, in terms of the performance information, the measurable strategic objectives. The first one was to profile the Commission with a special focus on the Commission's mandate, role, approach, achievements, challenges, and recommendations. And in this respect, we was achieved a six of the annual targets for the number of quarter four briefings on the Commission's submission and appropriations for was two, and the number achieved there was one. The reason for this variance was that the budget process was incomplete, and the Commission received the invitation subsequently to the The second measurable strategic objective was to ensure the generation of quality, innovative, pioneering, evidence-based research that informs key IDFR strategic debates and choices which is achieved. To ensure the Commission research is converted to policy advice and recommendations written in language that policymakers can understand. This was achieved state that the annual target relating to the three other official languages was not achieved. The reason is that budgetary and human capital constraints. The Commission is currently, however, drafting its official language policy, which will be implemented in the 2013-16 financial year. To go on, the minimal strategic objectives to ensure the policy advice and recommendations respond timely and proactively to the dynamic needs of stakeholders, this has also been achieved. To ensure the progressive and innovative human resources management that attracts, develops, and retains key talent and leverages external expertise, this was achieved here. To ensure the coordinated, coherent, high-quality, innovative, and cost-effective approach to ICT that meets the needs of the Commission secretariat, and stakeholders, this was also achieved. And to ensure the coordinated, cost-effective, and innovative management of Commission assets in support of delivery of Commission's mandate, which was also achieved. In terms of the compliance with legislation and adherence to relevant corporate governance standards practice, this was achieved. And in terms of the measurable strategic objectives to ensure the creation, institutionalization, and transfer new knowledge to other role players within the IGFR system, this was achieved state for the draft file plan shared by quarter four. This was not achieved. And the reason for this was the infrastructure and the digitization was not achieved due to budgetary constraints. to ensure the coordinated, cost-effective and innovative acquisition and management of Commission data, information and knowledge resources in support of delivery of the Commission's mandate. This was achieved based on the number of successful electricity transactions by quarter four was 12,000, but the actual amount achieved was actually 11,824. The reason for that was the demand was less than the expectation. Step more effort was focused on the electricity work. To ensure prudent and transparent management of the Commission's financial resources was well achieved, and lastly, to ensure access to alternative sources of funding was also achieved.
Hello, Chair and Honourable Members. I think I'll go through the central highlights, but how I will settle them, I'll start with the old outcome that we have, and then look at the revenue that we have in the Commission, look at the financial performance and the Commission, the indicators that was there, and how we move from the prior year. And I've made and some key expenditure areas like the personal cost, and also look at the professional fees and the operating expenses. Well, in fact, with the audit account for the previous financial year, the Commission was given an unqualified audit opinion, and the financial statement of the Commission was fairly presented, and the financial position of the Commission was in accordance with the applicable reporting framework. And the report on performance information was useful and reliable, and in accordance with identified performance management and reporting framework, and there were no material findings that were raised upon the selected objectives, and no evidence of significant deficiencies in the internal control was found. Finding on non-compliance with legislation was only preferential cost current sitting, not reflected in the original invitation of code. So that was the only issue on the audit findings. And then in terms of the Commission's finances benefited from the improved control and austerity measures, there is continuous monitoring and regular reporting process in place, and the cost containment initiatives were being implemented by the Commission. When you look at the statement of financial performance, the statement of financial position, the revenue of the Commission has increased by 14% from the prior year. The reason for this was an increase on the one-off adjustment that we received from the National Treasury Reserve because of the contract that we had on the 2013-2014 financial year. In terms of the staff cost, the expenditure got a 6% increase. The reason for that was CPIS adjustment and also other payroll administration costs. There has been a decrease on our assets that has affected the depreciation. That's why you see that decrease of less than 100%. The decrease is due to extension in the useful life of our assets because of the budgetary constraints that we have, and our assets are still in full use. We have to extend the useful life of those assets. On the professional fee, there is an increase of 30%. One, the main way of Commission research that we are doing at the Commission, and also to deal with the issues that came out of the contract that we have. The other challenge was on the audit fees and also compliance with other legislation requirements that we need to comply with. In terms of the operating costs, there has been also an increase there on the IGFR conference and growth on stakeholder management. And on the asset base also, we saw an increase in our balance sheet because of cash and cash equivalent increase, which is due to accrued expenditure. And then we also see that there has been a decrease on assets due to non-acquisition of assets and the reason that I've explained earlier on the expansion of the useful life. And then the liabilities have increased by 26% due to provision that are there on our financial state. When we look at the revenue side of the Commission, in terms of the MTS allocation, you will see that our budget for the 15-16 financial year has decreased by 10%. The reason for that, we got a one-off change in our baseline that is, you see the figure there, outside of us sitting at 45.2 million, and then now we're sitting at 40.5 million, and that has been the only reason for that. And then in terms of the current revenue allocation that we have, the major revenue, 99% of our revenue is through the government grant that we normally get from Treasury. The 1% there is due to donation that we normally receive, and also the interest that we normally receive from the bank. On the personnel cost, Commission of Human Resources and institution, and this is how our personnel cost, the personnel cost, out of the budget that we have at the Personnel Institute, that are about 21.2 million, and those are divisional split of those personnel costs. You can see most of our personnel costs go to the core human function of the Commission, which is second recommendation program, that about 39% of the total personnel cost that we have, and then followed by the other divisions within the Commission. In terms of the professional fees, there is, you know, the key professional fees that normally have our external audit, risk management, internal audit fees, and the Commission research. The spending on the professional fees continues to 15% of the total budget. This is what constitutes the professional fees. But there are areas that we normally have increase in the internal audit fees. That's because of engaged service provider at the end of that financial year. And there was also an increase on the commission research, which includes fresh papers that were commissioned for the changes and the first conference. On the operating expenditure, the increase of the operating expenditure was due to the error that the travel in that field by about 2.1 million that was being audited, 3.3 million. The reason for that was the travel on the core business function and also the international conference that we had for the international guests that were coming to, and that the part of producing paper. You'll see those kind of escalation costs. And also there are errors where we've done some things in terms of the administration cost of the commission, moving from 4.6 million the previous year, and then this year we're sitting at 2.7. This is due to cost containment measures that were implemented within the commission. In terms of the challenges of the commission that we have in the current financial year and the year that was audited, there is an increase in the request from stakeholders that has led to challenges in balancing the commission's wish to the rest of the activities. The second one that we have, there was the extension of the commission work and the presence across all three tiers of government, and also the skills shortage. And the outdated ICT infrastructure, which has led to some sitting breakdowns in the commission, but that's what is trying to address with Mr. Treasury in terms of through our baseline allocation, maybe that can be helped, because our ICT has been there for over 5 years now. That's why we see that high limitation on our assets. It's one of the reasons that I said. And then also there's an issue of the least credit challenges with the landlord not yet involved. Department of Public Works played quite a major role there to ensure that is brought to order. And the other issue that has been there is the lack of capacity that has led to non-compliance, namely unable to implement certain pieces of legislation, namely the use of official language, lack of certification of duties, and lack of dedicated risk officer. Although those are the basic requirements, because of the start of the commission and the budget that we are currently having, we can implement all those areas in there.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. From the own committee point of view, we are very happy with the control that the committee has put in place. This is clearly indicated by the outcome in 2015. We are, from our side, making sure that the management works together with the current office and the AG, And we are also emphasizing on our quarterly meeting that we are raised that are facility made and low operation harmony that and we are getting everyone continue all those reports on the internet. We are raising the effectiveness of the control that are going to be in place and together as the assurance providers, the AG and the management and we are working very close. That's why the outcome is so good.
Thank you very much. Like in the presentation that we circulated, we have attached an extra which basically the evidence on the submission that we made and the recommendations in particular that we made for 2015 increase of revenue. And the responses from the government and I think we have had conversations around that at the beginning of the year. So if you still want extra issues around those recommendations, we can still have that conversation. But we've just attached those for information here.
Thank you very much. Maybe before I open for questions, let me communicate that one is very impressed by the improvement that we have done in the channel control, especially around the supply chain. Now this unfortunately I'm stuck with you. So you are the only one who should have a question or where else I'm going to proceed to close them up. And I'll look at the nature, the immediate
particularly keen on the debt ceiling, the cross-cutting and ceiling comments, and I'll deal with it myself. Right. And now, the thing. Okay. The cash and cash equivalent went up by 1.26 million at the end of the year, and there was some comment about that. I mean, that's a 51% increase from year on year. And I'm also just on a general thing, the year that the columns are headed seems to be a problem. There's some 2014-13 and then 2015-14. I see there are two reports for the so-called financial position of the balance sheet. But in the notes, I've got a bit confused, and I'll get to that now, as to what the IR is actually looking at. The increase in treasury, that's explained. Interest relief, you've mentioned it, but as a source of income, but then didn't tell us why there was no income in 2015 at all, not a cent, whereas in the previous year, 2018, there was income. Depreciation has been explained, other operating expenses have been explained, so I won't go into those. Yeah, on page 71, where does this help me there? I'm not sure which year. Is that supposed to be 2014 and 2013? Can I have a quick answer to that question, Mr. Chairman, if I may? It just helps me to formulate my question.
For example, you can take a break and after the enhancement by the FC in relation to how the economy is accessed in the current conjuncture. The FLS, for instance, SARS was not able to reach its target in terms of the revenue collection and juxtapose it with, for instance, the depreciation of the rent in the economy. What's your analysis in this context? Because the responsibility of FSC is not only to give us the annual report, but to make this analogy. So that's the first question. And the second question related to the 1997 FSC Act, whether is there any intention to bring changes to the legislation in the current fiscal year for the COVID to consider? And generally, Chair, also if you allow to get a quarterly assessment from the FSC of the economy, so that it keeps us abreast. As it's part of its role to do that, and the fact that it engages with other sectors beyond the segment of government on the next. So I hope I did my homework. Thank you.
I love my comment. I was going to say, try my best to forecast for the annual report that you presented. I think it will be important for us to register for the community, the community. Our dissatisfaction on the composition, better composition of the new government commission. And I think I'm very hoping that we see some explanation on this matter so that we are able to satisfy ourselves that there were no other questions. Because I think it's important, it's really not just for us just to welcome the government without having an explanation. This is non-compliant of the high state. definitely one would have said containing as to why there was addition from the norm.
Everything has been changed around. That seems like a complete turnaround.
It's just one issue, that's the age difference about supply chain management and the project regulations that is outstanding.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, honorable members, for the comments. Let me start off with the honorable colleagues just to give you an update of where we are at with regard to the provincial equitable share formula. Just under a month ago, we made a presentation to the budget forum at the FSC together with the National Treasury with respect to the provincial fiscal framework. And one of the recommendations there was that we will be reviewing the provincial equitable share formula, especially looking at the components, the various components and their weights that we have assigned to each of those components, given what has been happening. There's been a lot of shifts in terms of where people reside. And because the formula is driven by demographic issues, and for the money, basically follows people. What has happened is that there's been a significant relative shift in transfers from those provinces that are losing population, and invariably they tend to be the poorer provinces, to those provinces that actually receive people. So the review will take some of those issues into consideration, but we will also be requesting provinces to make their own submissions in terms of the experience that they have had and the challenges that they have. Because some of the questions that you referred to, honorable, stem from the apartheid legacy and how we have actually dealt with those. And you would recall that the original formula had a backlog component. And when the social security grant was then moved to the national department through the agency, there was a review of that component that was changed into what we used to call the provincial infrastructure grant, so now it's the infrastructure grant for provinces. So there have been those things that have been taking place, which might not or might have contributed into some of the challenges that are currently faced by some of the provinces. So the review will be a final process, and we're hoping to start that process as soon as possible. So we will be moving forward with that through a task team consisting of the Financial and Fiscal Commission and the primary stakeholder, which is the national and provincial president, will be involved in that. Now, the issue of Commission of Islam. It's a very challenging situation for him, and for me, what we have at least been able to get from him is his input. He's a part-time commissioner, and he works for his employer, his Standard Bank company, and he has got responsibility for some of the markets on the continent that Western State is actually setting up. And so it does take quite a bit of time out of the country, and somehow we just can't seem to get the date right for him that would align with the availability of other commissioners when we have the meeting that we have. So it's a bit of a challenge, but from my conversations with him, it's not going to be a permanent feature. Once what they've been doing has been set up and established, then it will be available. So we're hoping that in the coming year, it's not going to be as complicated as his first year was. But he does make his input, submit his input in writing, which would actually make sense in those kinds of circumstances. Okay, the issue of the depreciation and Tobias. Okay, let me put it this way. I will take these two, the issue of the depreciation and the SAR issue. I will take that and the other one that says that we must be able to provide you with more information in terms of how the economy is doing and going. Our next submission will be the media temporary policy statement. So we will incorporate these two in that. So soon after the media temporary policy statement is tabled, we will provide a submission that will respond directly to the two issues that you raised. I think they are very big issues and they require the considerable work to be done before we can actually tell you what is happening. But we have, in terms of our own work around the macroeconomic and public finance issues, these are the types of issues that we have set up that specific unit in our research program. We set it up for this specific purpose. So we will be able to provide you substantive submission on these two particular issues. Honorable Van Rooyen, the issue of the resignation, the reasons were simply that these people, the two senior managers in particular, the reasons for their resignation was nothing except that they wanted to go into private business. So they both established private businesses. The one probably is very successful. We're still in touch with them. We still share ideas. The one is still in private business. The other one has since gone back to work in now working with the presidency in the commission monitoring and evaluation. So their resignation had nothing to do with what we can offer them, or but simply very personal reasons of diversifying their experience. The third one went and joined the University of Johannesburg because he wanted to do his PhD. We still work with him and when it is necessary, we still work with him. So he's a teaching at the University of Johannesburg, but then starts for a PhD program full time. We do provide PhD opportunities. Currently we have one of our senior managers that's got back from the United States from the PhD we're looking for him. The other one is in the second year at the University of the Northwest on a PhD. So but those are part-time types of so this other one is at his age. He would like to experience teaching at the university and also experience life as a PhD student at the university, so we allow them to. The issue of accommodation, it's been a very challenging situation, but I think the most recent meeting that the CFO who speaks to took place 2 days ago. From where I sit, I had our last discussion around this matter. I did have a meeting with the Director General of Public Works because the challenge has been the conversations that take place between the Department of Public Works and the landlords. We are just a third party. National Treasurer Malapa Den, the IMDS, has been also like trying to assist to coordinate that. It's been a big challenge. But after my meeting with the Director General, there has been some movement towards resolution of the problem. But I think I would allow the CFO to respond to that. Mr. Bwana, can you respond to some of those issues that deal with financial, including the inconsistency? I appreciate, sorry, let me just say that you are right. No, when you test these things to the printers, they can actually mess up the things. And even as I look at this one, there's one or two areas where you can see that this this was not approached to this. So they're using the same test. They almost like have their own template where they place the things that I'm thinking that that's what they did. So we will be having a conversation with them around but thank you for picking that was definitely that printing errors.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. So I've addressed the question by the Honorable Member. I don't know what the Chapter Number Commissioner sustained. Well, when we look at page 51 of the annual report, it's the previous 13-14, and then if you go to the following page 52, that's the correct one. And then on the issue of church and tax equivalence, you see that increase that has moved from 2 million to 3.3 million. If you look in the previous financial year, we had an actual deficit that we had to deal with and address it through our process. One of the things that we had to address that actual deficit on page 52 there. It is a positive sign now of 63,000. One of the reasons why to make sure that is being addressed. And then also when you go to fund the income and other income that you refer to. If you go to our notes on page on page 69. On page 69, in the previous year, you see under the dollar funding that we received of about 227,000, and we say we didn't receive any money. That 28,000 actually is the money that was there in the previous function. We finished to finalize the project on the IPRC. There's an explanation that will be and also, if you go to another question that we have on page 71, on the date of 2014, 2011, we say that the print is supposed to be 2015 and 2014, but that will be corrected subsequently to it on the meeting that we have with them. And then on the list between the public and ours, we had a meeting. I must say that National Trust has quite clearly made a role in terms of resolving this matter. We our list now is designed to expand with the public web, and also through the intervention of our acting chair trustee with the TG of the public web, and also as we finalize, we have a department that will decide in 2 weeks' time. And we started the meeting with them 2 weeks ago, and one of them is we also bring to the auditor general to always research phase and the meetings that we have with the Department of Public Health and we have with the process that we follow in the model of the issue. Thank you, Chair.
If there is anything that's missing, then someone can remind you. Oh, sorry, but there was one question that you raised, which relates to the wage bill of the FSC.
Yeah,
whether we have any target in terms of what percentage we would think makes sense. It's difficult. I think if I were to do a quick benchmark and say, you know, when you have all the stuff that you need, because one of the things that you're trying to run away from is relying on consultants, because that can also hide the amount or size of the bill. So when you engage consultants, you must say that normally you would rather have everybody that you need, and then you can be able to say, no, I have all my bases covered, I've got all the people that are able to do everything that I must do. If I were to say I have that, I would get to take what I'm spending on consultants and add it onto the wage bill that I have, and I'll probably be around about 70-75%. But that's a very good way of doing it. I would probably say for a human resource intensive institution like the Financial and Fiscal Commission, you basically would require a specialist to do the work that you do. and they don't actually come very cheap. So I would still probably say 60% is not a very bad benchmark for that. So 49%, because I'm just, that 49% is on the research staff. It's on the research staff. So that's a very big cost that I have. I haven't included what I spend on consulting. So if you add that, you would probably be financially better. To be able to do the work that we do, we probably need, probably looking at around about 60%.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going through my mouth. Such advice in follow-up questions to that team. The issue of the appointment of commission, the lack of the realization of that those appointments, something that the federal community takes up with the principles to really want to affect the regime that is behind. And it's difficult for the economy with the level that we have of people in the schools acquired today, and then they are to create the next. But I don't know, we have to establish a very important, we have to establish a community. We have to do compliance for it. So we need as a community to take that and try to establish a big level. I'm going to try to ask you to have a second time.
And in a way, it's going to affect the wage bill. So the delineation is really much more serious on consideration of all these issues. And secondly, on the, especially in facility, we have considered maybe a retired special that might be prepared to take a lower wage as compared to those fresh minds from universities who are so after in other institutions that might not want to find it very attractive to work for the commission. Second, I'm thinking maybe more than question on gender. Has such a person that doesn't want to operate in a fixed space? Is it not effective? Is the environment so bad that women doesn't want to be part of it? And I think that the thing is taking serious
Should be on the irregular extension, and yeah, they should be in doctors, but from page 35 there's a note, and it says the amounts are not recoverable and not condoned, and then there's details of irregular expenditure and irregular loss that ends with no value which received. So if it wasn't condoned, how is it dealt with in the books of accounts?
Respond to two questions. They're not asked the processors
expected to respond to the questions that were raised by the honorable supplier, and then therefore we respond to the allocation together with the member of the committee. The issue of the meeting, if you remember when I spoke about this meeting last time, I did indicate that from our side, we were actually of the view that if we had given our money, which we were supposed to be given in terms of the demolition of properties from public works, we were not given our money from public works. So our accommodation is done by public works on our behalf. Which is why we have been having this running battle with public works, where we thought National Treasury could actually resolve. And I can tell you that it started back in 2008 when I was first appointed to the Insurance Commission. That conversation was one of the first steps that I was given by the NHS and to try and address. And we failed. So it's been running like that for quite some time. As I said to you, our lease expired last year. And we have been sitting with a month on month lease, which basically means that we are estimating of the landlord. Now, at the same time, there were some other issues that related to payments, the down payments that were made to the landlord. We were not contested by the landlord, but could not be resolved because the public works had their own view about where is that money coming and where is it going. We have our own view, we have the numbers, we have had this conversation for a very long time, but they have never really been resolved, except that now when we have engaged the DG. When I spoke to the DG and I said, there are previous DGs that we have engaged and they have resolved it. Now we have to this issue of the master money that maybe the previous lease was also an amendment. Now, parallel to this process, we sit in a forum that the Minister of Finance puts together for entities that are housed in the Ministry of Finance. So I think that these are the symbols. So I sit in that forum. One of the conversations that was there in the context of this cost containment measure was that we should actually be able to utilize each other's facilities. So now the PIC has got all of these buildings. Our Cape Town office, for example, we are in charge of our own lease for the Cape Town office. So we do it with the PIC. Substantially lower rate than what we otherwise would have gotten if we had gone somewhere else. Now, it's the same issue that I have actually negotiated with the PIC and they agreed to give us a building. And then when we wrote to the National Treasury about this, and then we wanted the money to actually shift, too late. But we were literally from where I sit, we were left with no option but to continue with the Department of Public Works. Now, continuing with the Department of Public Works means they are the ones that negotiate the terms of the lease agreement. My discussion with the DG, which was a very fruitful one, was that he even asked me whether do we want to stay where we are with the current neighborhood, or do we mind to be shifted, even if it means that we are shifted from Mitra to Pretoria. I said I would very much love to be shifted to, for instance, that I can actually be able to compare with what I have gotten with the PIC in terms of the way. So it's a But of course, we are caught up in that situation where public works actually is one that's running out. There is no treasury to try to assist us in getting out of that, but obviously there are issues around the finance part that must be resolved. Now, maybe Mr. Bona will be able to say a little bit more in terms of what the actual details of the financing arrangement and what the points of contention are between public work ourselves and investors. On the data issue, as I said, from our side as the Commission, there is very little that we can do. But what is necessary is that our Commission, what is the standard of the Commission? We took a decision, a very deliberate decision, that any vacancies that occur in the Commission, the first preference, especially in senior management level, the first preference would be a female and or a disabled person. And over the past 3 or so years, we have actually made very significant progress in terms of bringing in those people into the organization. In terms of intent, because what we have also realized is that some of the intent that we take, some of them actually tend to do very well, and we end up employing them when the vacancy occurs. So the target again is targeting women with the profile. I think at the moment all our intents are female, except for us, it's about four of us, one male and the rest of them are female. One who was there left and went off to Minnesota to finish a master's degree. She applied for a post that we advertised in this last year, and she was. So we also are able to try and build them from within, because you probably right, it's that challenge in the area that you find that the women are very few, and where they are there, they're very hard to come. So that, but I think we have made very significant progress in the Secretariat where we have control. When it comes to the Commissioner themselves, we have no control. I think if I try to recall, I was requested to make to send in names that I thought were people that could be considered for appointment. I did send in a couple of names which were diverse. But each stakeholder in the appointment process of commissioners would then look at that list and their own list, and then they would basically choose who to recommend, and then the president can appoint. So it's probably not just at that level, but from the compilation of the very appointment process for the SOP that is complicated, because you have landfill mayors that must nominate, you've got organized local government that must nominate, and you've got national government that goes through the Minister of Finance that must also nominate. So that process maybe could be sensitized as a process that, you know, this is what the current situation is. Like I said, we regret. We were doing very well, but then we regret. Let me ask Professor Steiner to respond to the other question that you asked another week, Tobias, because Professor Steiner also chairs our subcommittee on research in the Commission, so he would be very much in the know in terms of what his plan would expect to be utilizing the special scheme.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. The core business of the FSC is research, and that requires high skilled people who are willing to work, because we are in competition with the market, and so it's a very difficult area, because your competitors probably have a small people box than the sector. What is quite remarkable is the level to which we are relying on our own researchers, and that has been a fantastic trend towards becoming much more self-reliant. I think in the past, much more reliant on consultants and research, that has been reduced significantly. And we now have really skilled people who can produce, and produce in a very competitive environment, produce reports, and especially on agreeing to logical errors and so on, of which will be picked up. But given this demand and given this pressure to produce really high quality, because you don't have high quality, hope will be meaningless, you require the best. And I think it would be really interesting having two the retired professors who may, in fact, will be willing to assist the commission at the test. Another great example of really great. What you do, in fact, have as a policy and something which you're building out is linking up with universities and the Department of Economics so that you can, with the other researchers, almost have a bit of a mentoring role, coming with senior academics that can assist about the quality of the work and that you produce results that can stand. The other point of scrutiny is to add is that our researchers are publishing in peer-reviewed journals, so they compete with the best internationally, and I must say this year we had a number of articles published in very good and prestigious peer-reviewed journals. So from an academic point of view, this is my business. So, I think we are actually doing very well at that self-standing and what that can produce those who create the other institutions that we involved, which were very much reliant on our clients to do the analysis. We're doing it in our own very proud to be part of this institution.
Before I allow the effort to come in on the other question that Honorable Bayer asked about the review, possible review of the Act, and the review that has just happened, I think if I remember very well, let me start from the beginning. Last year, during the time when we had this conversation, and as part of the CRR review report that I received, one of the issues that was raised by the committee was that there will have to be a conversation between the Minister of Finance and the FSC, the committee, and other stakeholders. That should be a conversation around the role and function of the FSC on the basis of experience. At that time, I am sure that we were just about finished with our conference, which also did a bit of a review of what the Commission's role has been and where have been the efforts. And so there are recommendations that came out of that support that assess the roles of not only the SSC, but also the stakeholders like Parliament in terms of ensuring that when government says they have accepted it, how do we then see those things going forward in terms of implementation? So we've got all of those issues. And when we were processing the amendment bill of the SSC for 2015, one of the issues at the last meeting that I attended at Court of Center that the chairman raised was that we have to deal with this and finalize this, but going forward we must still have that conversation, also in view of the Parliamentary Budget Office. I have started a conversation with the Parliamentary Budget Office, and I am waiting for them to actually come back to me with date on when we will meet, and we will be able to come back and also indicate to you where we think we must go. It's the work that we do and the work that the Parliamentary Budget Office does. So we are having those conversations. So in terms of whether in the near future one foresees a review of the Act, I would say it will be informed by that conversation that I think this committee must lead in terms of what is in the LR report that was sent to us. I think it does say that. Now,
thanks, James. I have a question that I have not known in terms of those. If you go to page 51, the first I was asking, if you go to page 65 of the article, it will show that the amount of infrastructure is $192,000 per year. And also on the issue of the those are some of the issues that are addressed, but only as God provides for that infrastructure to give us the special connection. And then on the issue of the irregular expenditure, we have a policy that we follow in terms of, you know, we look how to resolve irregular expenditure that we're on condone, and then we follow certain regulations in terms of doing that. We engage in infrastructure and also engage the other general. One of the reasons why it was disclosed in the manner that it was disclosed in page 75 is to show that we have followed the wealth issue, and this is the process that we follow. And we look at where there was any employees that was lying in terms of law, and that was found, and also was there any value for money that you received from the service, and that was also found, was the value for money with regards to that. And then we have for the terms of the being resolved by the executive authorities, and which was done, and then the authorities are not facing with the process that you follow from the service.
Yeah, in your department and your team, this is my previous class of public local government. Those who know local government will tell you that it's more capacity, it's more power. So he gets around and the cold case of the island here, no, a lot of time. Because something things that things can be very
the industry, they are in
department to observe cost containment measures. So we are supposed to be the same for that. We can't be asked to agree to a legal agreement that are not committed. You know? So I think as a matter of issue, not that that is important, that can take a time on our project. I mean, we must obviously request the chef of them, or mandate the chef of them to be able to do this.
Allocate the number of hours, has the workload percentage increase? Is it unevenly distributed? Because depending on which area of the web program you are operating, so for example, those that operate in local government, with the local government unit of the commission, will probably seem to be having the biggest load, because that is where most of the action is actually happening. So you can be sitting in the office and then suddenly there's a journey that says the equipment which has been withheld from this municipality, so that then you must suddenly go back and like do the work. And that's quite ad hoc in nature. So if you already have a program that you have identified for the year, these are the issues that you will deal with, you cannot avoid those ad hoc requests, because the enabling legislation requires you to respond to those types of requests. So I would say that the workload at the moment, firstly, they are probably unevenly distributed, and they have actually increased. But I wouldn't say that we have reached a point where we are saying we are now breaking down. We have reached breakpoints. We haven't reached that breakpoint, but we are getting there. So part of the work that we are doing is to look at how we structure the research program and leverage through our MOUs with some of these universities. We have an MOU with the University of the Western Cape, and I must say that through that MOU we will be hosting a conference in the next 2 weeks. Especially with the University of Peace Development, that we did come and make an input to this committee on our views around that. So there's a conference that we actually learning on that. So by trying our best to leverage with the special institutions to try and see if we can, to try and plug that gap and lighten the load on our researchers. So in the absence of any serious promises of an adjustment, one of us here is sitting behind me trying his best, but I think it's very difficult to meet. But we are. I must say that we have been very grateful for the support that we have received from the Minister of Finance. I mean, if we hadn't received the one-off injection, we would not have been able to host the conference that we wanted. So, even though the environment is generally tight and resources are scarce, we can see that the Ministry of Finance is quite supportive, and I suppose it's also because of the value that I attach to the work that we are doing. So it gives one hope and confidence that going forward, when things become rosier, maybe we will get also like another look into it, get something a little bit to boost our cover.
Thank you, Honorable Members, and Professor Kumaro Isachin. Unlike the real chapter, and I don't have a problem of ours, I mean, talking about meeting Asia, because I can that issue. And I know it allows NMR to be productive in another area of their life, but also in other areas of their work. Now, members, I'm taking this opportunity, of course, to indicate that the report was well received, and there are areas of concern which are important, some of those very related. And for tomorrow's engagement, we are entertaining the amendment to our health laws and the data public hearing. Now we have a lot of interest. We are aged to start earlier than normal. So our meeting tomorrow is at 9:30 at the old pattern. So please let's do a time, because we have an avalanche of presentation to actually before lunch tomorrow. Thank you very much, and those who are flying back, God bless. And it's in the position.